All right, my phone is blowing up. There's a lot of people that want in on Team Hayes, and I'm putting up the blockers, man. I got a lineman in front of me. I said, I don't think I can accept that. I'm doing it on my own. Team Hayes making his own picks, but Team Aldo.
Who wanted to be on your team?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. A secret admirer for picks. Someone seeking information. They have great information. But you've got Luke Wilson. You're bringing in a Super Bowl winner, and you're complaining or concerned about who I might be counseling with? I mean, come on. But
nail gun.
You never know. No comment. Listen, no comment. It could be anyone of prestige, and the nail gun is a man of prestige.
You've done your whole life, fake friends. You just text some fake people and just say, oh, yeah, this phantom secret squirrel texted me, and there's nobody there.
Now,
you're Manti Te'o.
Honest to God.
I'm Manti Te'o.
Yeah, he has a Manti Te'o. Like, that's who he's.
You think my picks are getting catfished? I'm getting catfished for gambling picks with you three idiots? Get serious.
Now, I know for a fact, I just want you to show up with Dougie and Tux. Like, for sure, Tux.
I can
you
send them
Tux.
A text, see what they think about the game tonight.
You
Should
and
I get a
Tux
text chain going like, and a podcast going?
I bet you. Awesome. Do you have Dougie's number?
I have Doug Gilmore's number, yeah.
I bet you he would ice you if you floated one to him.
What do you want me to ask him? Who he likes in the football game tonight?
Go ahead and see if he answers. If Doug Gilmore answers before the end of the show, I guarantee you, and you have to snapshot it to the grappler for confirmation. He'll be like, "Come on, this guy."
But why would I would expect him to ice it? Why would I send Doug Gilmore a text asking him who he likes in the Bengals game tonight?
Just try it, see what happens.
All right, fine, I will.
You would have to identify yourself.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, it's Brian Hayes. We're doing a bit on the – like, you can't just be like, who do you like in the game tonight? He'll be like, are you nuts? Like, say, we're doing a bit because for sure he will respond if you let him know it's for the show.
Right.
If he thinks it's because you're a degenerate gambler, he's just going to flush you.
Well, that's right. Exactly. I'm not asking him for money, though. Like, it's not like I'm saying, hey, Doug, send me $50. I want to put money on the Bengals tonight. You know.
Yeah.
It's just seeking advice. I'll bet you he's got a read on the game tonight. I'll bet you. And I'll bet you his take on a game is different from your take on a game, which makes me feel good about whoever you end up picking tonight. All right? Yeah. So, all right, I'll send him a text.
That would be hilarious.
I'm not going to put bro in it. I'm not going to do that. Maybe a handshake emoji, though.
Why did you think bro wouldn't land with, like, another cool guy? Like, that's how cool guys talk. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
You don't know bro people... to any? Like, what? Am I too old to say bro to a guy?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. It might be, like, for young people, you know? I don't know. I mean, like,
Luke,
Luke's how
I
old?
Hang out with two guys, Eddie and Mulls, that are 80 years old, and they say bro. They're 80.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that might be a throwback. I don't know. Like, you hang out with 80-year-old people. Which is, I'm sure they're cool and very experienced in life, but it's just, I don't know why they would use the word. I don't know.
Again, bro, it's a tough one. I mean, you got to read the room, but hey, like, look what we have up on the screen.
I can't do this, man.
Look what we have up on the screen right now.
Will Gilmore flush Hayes' text?
Like, could you imagine if you're in a bar right now? This is
a professional show.
Yeah. Like, there's people watching this throughout the country. We're up on TSN too, and there's a lot of people, I'm sure, that have access to it. That are in restaurants all over the country watching, and it's on mute, and asking the question, will Doug Gilmore flush Brian Hayes' text?
I know what you do. I know what you're going to do. You're going to change your buddy. Who's your buddy that I like? What's his name?
I have no idea.
Dave? Your buddy Dave. You're going to change Dave's name to Killer.
I won't do it. It's all good. Listen, I'll send the text. We'll see. I got 50 minutes for Doug Gilmore to respond who he likes tonight. All right, Pierre LeBrunner, Hockey Insider, coming up here in a moment. Pierre was just quote-tweeting what Masters was tweeting, a bunch of guys down at the Leaf practice, that Sheldon Keefe has revealed he's thinking of finding a way for Mitch Marner to play defense in different parts of the game and pair him with Morgan Riley. Effectively, if you're down a goal late in a game, maybe you get a fourth forward in a situation where you maybe have pulled the goalie. Maybe it's the sixth guy on the ice. But what do you make of Mitch Marner as a possible defenseman?
I'm not doing this again, because didn't we go through this where there was talk of five forwards at the same time a couple of years ago and we did that song and dance.
Hey,
this nonsense. Obviously, if they're down 3 goals with 7 minutes left, you might put them out there with Morgan Riley. But I'm sorry. I know I kind of have an old school approach to the game, but I don't know.
I don't know.
Sir Guy Fedorov did it, but I think it's because the guy in Detroit, the coach, Scotty Bowman, I don't know. I don't know what that was, but I can't see it.
I just think that I'd like to know the context of it. Because, yes, you could start him there because you want to stretch out coverage. So you're going to start him in the offensive zone, and right, Riley would be the only D, and then the rest of you have five forwards if it's a 6-on-5 situation. I think, you know, they're not – hockey, you're not trying to reinvent the wheel. It's just if you're trying to think outside the box, great. But I just – they're not defending a penalty or, you know, hey, we're going to face a, you know, a big, strong line. Let's get Marner out on defense. Like, and he's got to go back and get the puck and crushed. I think it's just, you know, trying to find a goal here or there. But I'd like to know the context. You know, that's the biggest thing is I think Sheldon's messing with people. I don't think you're going to see Mitch Marner start the third period at center ice faceoff.
No, of course.
Him and Morgan Riley.
Like, yeah, it just like that's galaxy brain stuff. That's just, it's not going to happen.
And the other thing too, they've tried all this stuff. Where's the music at practice?
I don't know. Do we do that anymore? Yeah, remember Sheldon was doing that when he first showed up.
Yeah,
but
like there's things they try.
All right.
And either it falls flat or it's not received and you move on from it.
Okay.
You might try that. So who knows?
I've received a response. I'll tell you about that a little bit later in the hour.
Tell you about a potential podcast later in the hour.
Okay,
let's get to our next guest.
All right, our TSN Hockey Insider, Pierre LeBrun. Pierre, you're advocating for Mitch Marner to play what? 15 shifts a night on defense or what?
No. I'm not advocating. It wasn't even really meant to be for the Leafs. I mean, I saw Mark Masters tweet, and I don't know if you guys won't remember this, but a couple of years ago, I actually tweeted about this, and it kind of created a bit of a stir, one of those harebrained things that I tweet sometimes. It was 3 or 4 years ago where I said, you know, why don't NHL coaches, in a very specific situation when you're chasing the game in the third period, why wouldn't you go to four forwards and a D? I mean, it just feels like for 125 years, there's been three forwards and two D on the ice. And
taking credit for a new idea, I see. Wow.
I like it. Veteran move.
I can't take credit because Scotty Bowman, unless I'm wrong, you guys can Google this, but I think Scotty Bowman put Sergei Fedorov on defense for like 6 weeks years ago because of injuries. I think it was something different than that.
I think it was to screw with Fedorov, to be honest with you.
Well, maybe. Either way, Fedorov did actually play D. But again, that's not what I'm talking about. You're down 3-1 entering the third period, and you're craving offense, and you don't have that many offensively creative defensemen, let's say, on your specific team. You know, why not? I just think sometimes the sport's stuck in its ways. That's all.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm curious if Mitch Marner is comfortable in that situation, too. I mean, a fourth forward on a power play is one thing. You pull a goalie, you get, I guess, five forwards out there when you're, you know, up 6-on-5 late in the game. But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, listen, you're talking about it in preseason. It ultimately doesn't have to mean anything. And I'm sure coaches are thinking outside of the box. And Marner is defensively sound, and he's a guy that I'm sure would be open to it. But we'll see. We'll see if they end up using it. I wonder how Rasmus Sandin would feel about that. He signs his deal. He gets back into camp, and Mitch Marner's taking ice from him, potentially, on the back end. How would that go over?
Yeah, interesting 24 hours, because I was actually at the game last night. I was doing a hit with RDS in the Habs broadcast. And, you know, when you see Yarncroc playing defense, you know how desperately the Leafs need to end that contract still with Sandin. But you never know how these things are going to end, in particular because, let's face it, the guy represent Louis Gross, who's a longtime agent, was William Nylander's agent, and that went till right to the end of December. Right now, I never thought this would, because this wasn't going to be a big contract either way. I mean, I'm kind of surprised it lasted this long. But in the end, the Leafs really stuck to their guns. I mean, they really felt they were not going to pay him on a two-year deal more than Timothy Liljegren. They felt the comps were so close that and of course every dime counts on the Leafs cap situation. But credit to Rasmus Sandin at the end of the day, let's be honest. I mean, both his agent Louis Gross and from the statement from Kyle Dubas today, everyone acknowledging that Sandine woke up this morning and phoned and said, I got to get back. You guys need me. And that's what ended this. So, you know, that won't be forgotten probably.
Yeah, I'm curious about that, Pierre. Like, if he called up and Dubas said, actually, it's 1.2, is he still like, you know what I mean? I don't know how much I can believe they need me now because of injuries last night, 2 weeks before opening night.
I think it's genuine. Like, if you, I don't know Rasmus Sandin that well, but I know that people who do saying that that is typical of him, that he does, he is a caring guy that way. Seriously, like, to be honest, I mean, if this was about getting a better deal, he should have stuck to his guns, quite honestly.
He had to be prepared to sit at home for a year if he wanted to do that.
Well, I don't know about a year, but, you know, the Leafs were pretty desperate there with these injuries. You know, he had leverage, and instead of using it, he went the other way. You know, what can you say?
Yeah. And now he's back. And now, I guess, with these – although Muzzin's back on the ice, so, you know, what kind of assurances do you think have been given to Sandin in terms of where he's going to play and how often he'll play?
Yeah, I mean, they need him. I mean, I don't know about assurances, but – and he's behind now, right? I mean, he's missed the start of camp and has to get himself going again. But, you know, this is a pretty big deal for the Leafs. You know, Darren Dreger and I just just taped insider trading, which is airing any minute now on SportsCenter. One of the things that Drake said after I talked about the Sandin thing is that the Leafs were, during the game last night, apparently floating around looking at defensemen on PTOs. So, I mean, it's certainly the timing of it with the injuries last night during the game were not insignificant. We always say preseason games are insignificant, but things happening in a preseason game last night were not, clearly.
Right.
Well, I mean, Victor Mete, an afterthought, which is weird because, you know, here's a guy who I think they played him in the NHL too early in Montreal. Didn't find kind of his rhythm in Ottawa, but he's, I think, 24 years old. Like, he's got lots of runway still as a potential player.
Yeah, I kind of liked him, what I've seen, Jamie.
I mean, he's a very good skater. I've said this. I think he's a busy player, very busy. But looks, you know, but doesn't get a lot done, especially offensively, where you expect his skating to put him in really good positions because he's a, I think he's an elite skater. He really is. But, you know, when they signed him, I thought, okay, that's a sneaky little signing. You know, he's a local kid and, you know, for me, he could maybe find a top six spot. It's just, I don't know. Like,
a lot of traffic there.
There
is. A lot
is.
Of traffic on the
yeah.
back end.
And by the way, he didn't just make the halves as a youngster. He broke camp playing alongside Shea Weber.
Well, that's what I mean. He played with Shea Weber and didn't score for the first 130 games. Like, that's, you know, like for a guy who was getting that ice time in that type of those types of situations, it just was a huge outlier. That's what I was talking about, Pierre, because you're right. He got every opportunity, and he earned it. He did. They just didn't hand it to him. He played very well in camp and earned to play there, but it just offensively, I always thought there was more there, put it that way.
Well, and you know, his play in Ottawa, I find it difficult to always figure out individually what it means when that's a team that was rebuilding and really – leaking defensively, as you know, and you're also doing all those Senators games at the time.
Yep.
So where does he fit into all that? And was that the right place and right time for him to be, I guess? But yeah, no, I like that signing too. When they made it, I think for the Leafs and Sandin, this could have easily lasted longer. So that's a phone call Kyle Dubas was happy to get this morning, let me tell you.
With Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider, we saw the Slavkovsky kid, the first overall pick for the Habs. What is your understanding of how this is going to play out for him?
Yeah, it's interesting. I did a long interview with Kent Hughes this week for a piece in The Athletic, and we talked about a lot of things, but that was certainly chief among them. And, you know, one of the things that he said, and I don't know if he feels the need to keep saying it because he's not sure if people believe him, because it's pretty rare for a first overall pick not to make the team. But he stressed again to me that, you know, they will do what's right for his development. And whether that's Laval, it's Laval. And whether it's Montreal for a while, but then Laval, in other words, a hybrid decision, then that's okay too. And, you know, that's one of the benefits they have. Like, everyone's going to make a big deal you know, in a week or two when they make their call. But they can change that. They can, you know, they can send him up and down all year if they choose to. Who knows? Maybe he plays a whole year in Montreal if he's too good. But there's flexibility there in that decision. And the key quote I thought from Kent Hughes was, we want to do what's best for his development as far as him being at his peak in 4 or 5 years when hopefully we're contending again. Not so much for whether or not we're winning games this year. And that's the way you should be looking at it. And, you know, this is an organization that, looking back, I can't pretend that I felt this way at the time because I don't think I did, but looking back, they made an error keeping Barry Kotkaniemi as an 18-year-old. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have.
Their attention, Pierre, though, going from selecting him first overall, this dynamic Euro player, to having the conversation of if it's best for his development to go to Laval, then it's best for development. I would bet you in a candid moment they didn't think that they were going to be having those conversations right away.
Yeah, I mean that could be. Let's face it, there are teams that end up first overall pick where there's all kinds of pressure about, you know, what it means for selling tickets and the marketing of it and all these things. That's not a play here. That's got nothing to do with what's going to happen here, right? I wrote this week, but if who knows how this is all going to work out with Ken Hughes and Jeff Gordon and their plans and the way they've attacked this in Montreal. But if there's a word that Ken Hughes has mentioned a million times since he took over 8 months ago as GM, it's development, which is something that the Habs really have struggled at. And that is the thing that he cares about the most is player development.
Well, I'll be honest, and this isn't being disrespectful. I think this draft class, these guys, their progression was hurt because of COVID. And it might be that some of these picks.
Excellent point.
And you look at him, I don't think he's ready. I think his pace looks a little bit off. Like he's, and maybe there's a lot of pressure on him, which you mentioned, Pierre. But if he's not ready, so what? If you don't make the NHL at 18, no big deal. You can come back at 19. Go back. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I watched a Wright play the other night. Like Seattle's a different situation because they're an expansion team, and he can play with Matty Bernier's, and like they can develop him and just kind of hide out of the limelight. But like watching this kid play in Montreal, I butcher his name, so I'm not going to try and pronounce it, but. Just from what I've seen the couple games, he doesn't look ready to play at this pace, night in and night out, and have these battles, and it might overwhelm him a little bit. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I think Kent Hughes might be just laying it out there so that, hey, in the event we send him back to junior, chances are he should probably go back there and develop and play a full season
player. I mean, it won't be junior.
Laval.
It'll be Laval. But the reason I bring that up is that here's the other thing. You know, again, he could be a month in Laval, a month in Montreal. Who knows how they decide to play it out. But when you look at first overall picks, you know, I don't have them all in front of me, but – you know, there's a lot of 18-year-old first overall picks where the decision is either back to Canadian junior hockey or stay in the NHL. There is no other option. I can guarantee you that there are some years where wouldn't those teams wish that the AHL was an option, which Montreal has.
I misspoke. I meant the AHL. I misspoke, but that's
the point is he doesn't look like he's ready for the NHL. That doesn't mean that his career it's the wrong pick. That's ultimately what it comes down to. You can be right that he's not ready today and doesn't mean that he's a bust because of that. He's 18 years old, right? And I don't think there's anyone at the top of this draft that is expected to step in and be game changers right away. You know, like that's generally generational. Like that's Matthews, that's McDavid. There's very few guys who come in at 18 or 19.
And that's not disrespectful. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's not being disrespectful.
Exactly. Like I hope, and it sounds like they've got the right frame of mind there to allow the player to sort out where he plays. And right now for the first couple games, I don't know what you think, Pierre. He just looks, you could tell there's ability there, 100%, big, strong guy, can move, good hands in that. but he doesn't look ready for every night play at the National Hockey League.
Last night he was definitely out of sorts.
He looked a lot better. He dominated the rookie tournament, but certainly it's been different this week. And again, if he does end up spending some time in Laval this year, and it's obviously that would be beneficial for him if that's the case, I think it might renew the debate that has been happening for a long time, by the way, where a lot of NHL GMs have been pushing for years and have not been able to push this through with the league and the CHL, is that whether it's a top five pick or a top 10 pick, you know, you have to decide what the rule is. Having the ability of using the AHL as an option, as opposed to sending a kid back to junior for Canadian players, you know, I mean, that's been a hot topic for a long, long time. And sure, there's a lot of teams wishing, boy, I wish, you know, we could send our guy to the AHL, like the Habs have the option right now with Slafkovský. I mean, it's just, it's not an option for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, because he's European. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out the rest of camp in Montreal and obviously here in Toronto as well, throughout the league for that matter. Good catching up with you, Pierre. Enjoy the ball game tonight, the hockey games, and we'll do this again soon.
All right, Cooper Rush, 2-0. Let's go.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Pretty good. There's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. Listen, Cowboy fans, they're allowed to puff their chest out because there were a lot of people saying their season was done, myself included, when Prescott went down. Now, I thought Dak was going to be out for like half a season. Now he may be rushing back.
Dude, it's just so Dallas. It's so Dallas. If this was going on in Jacksonville, or I'm just telling you, it wouldn't be this.
No. It's the power of the brand. It's the same thing with Aaron Judge. If Judge wasn't playing for the Yankees, this idea that the American League record matters, it doesn't. It doesn't. This is more about breaking a Yankee record than an American League record. It's about beating Maris.
Dude,
and
if he
Ruth.
Was with the Cleveland Guardians, it would be like, congrats, pal.
Yeah. No, Frankie Lasagna wouldn't be on the show today if he was a Cleveland Guardian. But he's Aaron Judge, it's the Yankees, and he's passing Maris and Ruth, and we're all familiar with those names and that record, and as a result, it resonates. And it's dragging me in, too, I'll admit it. And I understand why, because you hate watching the Yankees, but then it's a weird, unique scenario where you're actually kind of rooting for a guy who is the face of the New York Yankees. Anyway. All right, Al's brother is coming up. Luke Wilson, I don't know, is he just hanging out in the text chains? I don't think Luke is coming on for these picks.
He's not coming on for these picks.
He's got better things to do. Yeah, he's not coming on for the picks.
But you should see the chemistry flowing. I'm telling you, podcast. I said, guys, what about a podcast? Everyone, thumb up emoji.
Wow. A lot of pressure on Luke. We were trying to get him to roommate with Al's brother. This seems a little bit more plausible.
Puck and Ball Podcast.
The Puck and Ball Podcast. Okay. All right, we'll come back with more on this apparent chemistry between Al's brother and Luke Wilson, and I may or may not have got a response
from
a Hockey Hall of Famer and our good buddy Doug Gilmore. We'll tell you about that as well. We'll do that next. This is the song Al's brother is suggesting for the goal song for the Maple Leafs moving forward, and I actually think he did a very good job of selling it. He was raising the roof, which is up there with the term bro. Somewhat of a 90s move, but it's all good. We're up in the 2020s now. But I like Raising the Roof. Can we bring Raising the Roof back? Does that age me? I don't know. Do millennials raise the roof? Al's brother's a millennial. So I guess there's my answer right there.
I like that song. That would be a cool goal song.
Yeah.
That would make people go crazy, too.
Here's why they won't do it now, because now Al's brother will get credit.
No, they're not doing it. Trust me now, they're not doing it.
I don't think they're changing a thing. Anyway, do you guys want to hear from Al's brother? Bring him in, because you guys have been talking up chain and Luke Wilson. Like, how quickly do you think Luke is going to leave Noodles? Like, what's your over under when you see Luke Wilson has left the chat?
Oh, it'll be within. I'm going to give it a week, because I think what'll happen is, he'll have some fun early on, and then he'll realize, all right, I'm not.
When you guys are done, making fun of us, can we get to my friend?
Well, I'm just gonna say, at some point, you know, he's just gonna check out and be like, all right.
I think by Sunday at noon. Yeah. Luke Wilson has left the chat, and then we'll be blocking your numbers.
If Al's brother does something stupid, like at 11 p.m., text, "Good night, Luke." It's game over.
Sends a picture of himself, like, good night.
Wouldn't that be a scandal at TSN, Al's brother, sending selfies to Luke Wilson in the text chain?
Not a bad picture, but, you know, just his face. Or
no,
a little
just
video
good night,
going,
guys.
Hey, good night.
That's yeah. game over.
Good night, guys.
Oh, there he is.
La Twitter Metroid, as you match the 12, the third star, the final down.
That's how you make an entrance, Al's brother. What do you have to say for yourself in your new text chain?
Well, I had two things to say. One, I was not raising the roof. I've never raised the roof
in my life. You were
raising
the roof. I watched it on TV.
I wasn't raising the roof. I was doing one of these. Yeah, I wasn't raising it. I was doing one of these. You know, like in the scene of Eminem at the end where they're all like this, everybody in the 313. It was one of those things.
Oh, so you were lowering the floor.
I don't know what you call it. I don't know what you call it, but it's like when it's hype, yeah, you sit there. It's a little bit of a hand movement gesture. That's what that was. Not raise the roof.
I thought you were raising the roof.
No.
Noodles, I thought
there was some raising the roof. There was a head bob in there, too, that was impressive. There was you've got some rhythm. I rewound it about five times going, this guy can move.
I was encouraged by it. Yeah, I thought it was a good sales pitch. I don't think Julia was really feeling it, though.
She wasn't until the drop. Then the drop comes, you know, it's like the woo, and then boom. And then she was feeling it at that point.
I see.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's the first piece of business you want to address. What's the second part?
What O is saying is 100% accurate and true. This text chain,
very much.
This might be the most hottest text chain in the city of Toronto right now.
Al's brother, is it not like three high school buddies that have reconnected and they're like best buds and they go on trips and stuff?
We sent out the information and I said, this is the games we're on. He's like, I'm liking this, and that. I'm like, same. We are on the same page.
Wow.
And then we're going back and forth. There was one game where we're like, what do we want for this one, though?
No. But you know what we did? We said, let's break down the info.
And that's what we did.
You guys started doing what? Chewing the fat. You broke down info. Who's injured? Who's not? Who likes this? Prime time, blah, blah, blah. And you guys came to a solution. And that's why we are formidable this week.
I'm concerned that it's a little bit like Nabowski. Like you, was that what it, Nabil
and Stauskas.
Nabowskis, yeah. Like, you know, it's, and Nabowskis, like, he's forgotten about Nabil. And he's forgotten about all of us.
Yeah,
you know what
is.
I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
That's what's going to happen. Luke Wilson's going to pass
a bigger star than him, though. Now.
I will say that. Actually, that's the wrong.
Yeah, I think it's the other way around.
Could be
Nabil.
The other way.
Yeah, that could be
Heisman
the wrong.
Heisman and Stauskas now.
Exactly, because Nabil's a stud and a star. But I just feel like Luke, at some point, like 2 weeks from now, may not even recognize you guys in the hallway. Like, you'll just keep walking.
Well, I think there's a lot of validity in that. But, hey, listen, we'll give it a shot, right, Noodles?
Yeah, let's try
These
it
guys,
out.
They're 2-6. They're below the Mendoza line. They're the Bradley Zimmer of cappers. And they're bringing in a big dog. They're bringing in a Super Bowl champ. And yet, it sounds as if he's not changing minds. All he's doing is confirming what you already believe.
Yeah.
So, okay, take that for what it's worth, all right? Thursday night or tonight, Dolphins-Bengals on the FanDuel Sports app. You can see it, 3.5. This was at 4 on FanDuel. It's been bet down, moving towards Miami. You guys are on the clock. Team Luke's brothers, dog, walkers.
Luke's brothers.
Luke's brothers.
Luke's brothers. All right, Dolphins or Bengals, who do you like and why?
Al's brother, hit 'em.
We rule the jungle. Every day of the week, and harvest on Thursdays.
I'm gonna make
Thursdays.
It up in here, up in here.
The 313.
We are absolutely in on the Bengals this week. It's a bit of a short week, and the Miami Dolphins had a tough weekend last week against the Buffalo Bills. There was some tough weather. A lot of injuries happened, including probably the most important one, and that's at the quarterback position with Tua Tagovailoa. I'm not sure what you're gonna get out of this guy. How healthy is he? Hasn't really practiced a whole lot this week. So personally, I think that the Bengals are definitely the team to come out there. Miami's given up the second most passing yards this season. Good spot for Joe Burrow, our guy, O-Dog, our guy,
for him and
Ja'Marr Chase to have a true breakout game this year. I think it happens tonight on Thursday Night Football. We're taking the Bengals.
There it is. Luke's brothers are on the Bengals. So Luke agrees with that pick. He loves Cincinnati tonight. Is that what you're telling me?
I believe he said they're going to spank him. Was that the terminology?
I thought it was Crush, but we'll go with Spain.
Eh, same thing.
Yeah, it's so deep into the chain. Why would you go back and find it?
I think the Finns are frauds.
Exactly. That's exactly what's happening here.
Yeah.
If I'm anything, it's on brand. So there was absolutely no chance that we were rolling with those fraudulent Finns this week anyways.
Okay. Listen, that information, it makes a lot of sense. They had a tough week. It was hot. Tua's not at 100%. Short week. Generally, the team on the road that travels is at a big disadvantage.
Hazy,
I
gotta
point.
Ask you
rookie
before
head coaches.
You make the next play, Hazy.
Yeah,
are you somewhat like jealous that we got our thing going and you're just by yourself? I'm being
Gilmore
serious.
Texting back.
No, I'm not. You know why? Because I sent a text to Doug Gilmore and Joe from the Bridge has access to it. And do you know why I couldn't be happier that you guys have offered me up the Dolphins? Because there's killer right there. I asked him, "Who do you like in the game tonight?" There's no back and forth, bro. You know, hey, we're just naturally friends. He just writes D for Dolphins. That's
dude, that's a butt dial. Like that's a not even a
are
response.
Sure it's not a D for Dolphins.
I swear to God, that is not a response. That's just a thumb hitting a phone and not a response.
That's a D for Dolphins because we're on the same wavelength. I sent a thumbs up. He read it. That's all that matters. I don't need another response. It was a red text, and it's all good.
I
Doug
don't know
on the
that's
Dolphins
a
tonight.
Response.
That's a response. I actually agree.
That counts.
There's no need for like the bluster. It's
right.
Just,
there's no fluff. There's no fluff. Right.
Like that's what Dolphins.
These guys are a Michael Bay film. Right.
Yeah.
And Gilmore and I were Scorsese. Right. That's what it is.
I like
you just you cut to the chase, and it's about characters, and it's about a script. These guys are Michael Bay.
And a thumbs up, too. That's it. You just
thumbs
handed
up.
Out a thumbs
thanks,
back.
Dougie.
Thanks, Dougie.
Don't want to waste your time. Just checking in. Doug Gilmore's on Miami tonight. I love that I'm on Miami tonight.
Oh.
All right. So the London game. I am perplexed by this because it feels like primetime Kirk Cousins, and I hate primetime Kirk Cousins.
So you made a comment, though, earlier about because it's going to be 9:30 our time. You're like, so that's only 2 o'clock in the afternoon, like our time. So it's not even – prime time. That's like afternoon general right. Kirk Cousins where he's all right.
Let's get to the most important element. Right now, he's not exactly prime time anytime.
No, he's not. 2:30 in London. I don't know how that – but that might be like when a big derby goes on. You know, like if – I don't know. Liverpool's playing Everton or Tottenham versus Arsenal. Maybe it is prime time over there. But nevertheless, the Saints, I think they're going with Andy Dalton. That might be an upgrade. Jameis Winston's been terrible. Winston's been awful. So Dalton might actually be an improvement. But I think I'm going to ride with Kirk Cousins, which sickens me here. But I will lay the points. It's -2.5 on FanDuel. I'm going to take Minnesota to come home 3-1. So I'm on Minnesota.
Interesting play. Interesting play. I thought for sure you were going to go the other way.
I was because, again, I hate Kirk Cousins, and I actually hate the Vikings.
We're but happy Saints, with that.
I'm happy. Yeah, absolutely. Happy.
I mean, I don't like this game. I'll admit, I really don't like this game. I wouldn't pick it otherwise if I didn't have to, but, hey, it's all good. I'm on him. I'm on Vikings, all right, by a touchdown. Or probably
touchdown.
By a field goal. All I need is a field goal to cover.
Yeah.
All right, the 1 o'clock game. You guys are on your Buffalo Bills. We all know who you're picking here. Buffalo laying 3 at Baltimore. Go ahead. Explain why it's Buffalo for T-Mouse Brothers, Dog, Walker, Chewers, whatever the hell your name is.
Dude, just say Luke's Brothers. That's
Luke's
enough.
Luke's
Brothers. Fourth on, though, was it not?
Tremendous information being shared.
Absolutely.
It was like a GM, assistant GM, brainstorming before the draft, and they get it right. Go ahead.
Ultimately, I was worried because you look at the injury report this week, and it's been a little skeptical coming off of last week's loss to the Miami Dolphins. But then I took a look at the report off today. There's some really positive news. Deion Dawkins was a full participant in practice. Dane Jackson limited for 2 days straight. Mitch Morse got Ed Oliver. Jordan Poyer also out there practicing the last couple of days. So they're getting healthy. And when this team is healthy, I think they're the best roster in football, the best team in football. So I got really excited when I saw the injury report and saw that they'll have a full squad. Then I looked at the Ravens statistics. Defensively, they've given up the most passing yards in the NFL so far this season. Josh Allen is going
Keep
to
going.
Annihilate that secondary. Absolutely annihilate that secondary. They're giving up, on average, 25 points per game, where the Bills are scoring, on average, 30 themselves. I believe the Buffalo Bills are going to have a big bounce back game, roll into Baltimore, cover the number of 3.
Yes,
I forgot this one last thing. Ravens are frauds.
The flock are frauds.
Well, listen, yes, we'll see. They just went up to New England and put on a clinic. Lamar Jackson is
New England.
Yeah, that's fine. Who's on the AFC East forever?
Not now.
But that means absolutely nothing. You know what's weird about the Ravens' schedule? I was just looking at it. All 4 games so far have been against the AFC East. Mm-hmm. The Jets, the Dolphins, the Patriots, and now the Bills.
They should be 3-0. They're 2-1. They let one slip against my Miami Dolphins, which is fine because we know what's going to happen tonight. But, all right, that's fine. I'll take the Ravens. You give me points at home with Lamar Jackson the way he's playing. I'll take it.
All right.
Listen, the Bills are a pretty good team. I'll give you that. All right, the 4 o'clock game, Broncos at Raiders, battle of the AFC East. The Raiders suck. They're 0-3. They're at home. The Broncos, it's a miracle they're 2-1. A miracle.
It kind of is.
Nathaniel Hackett is 2-1.
They should be 3-0, realistically, because they lost to Seattle in week 1, and we know how bad that team is.
Right. Well, you know how bad they are. That's where the friction's going to be, right there. Luke's brothers are going to have to pick against the Seahawks.
That game's this weekend, by the way. Lions-Seahawks, that's this weekend.
I know. So where do you guys stand on that? We need to clarify what is going on there. Something's got to be on the line. He's on Seattle. You're on Detroit because you're a Lions fan all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, for this game, I'm not going to overthink this. I hate betting on Derek Carr and the Raiders, but they're 0-3. They're going to win ball games. Denver, I just don't trust, and I'm only laying 2.5 at home in Vegas. I'll take the Raiders. I will lay the points minus 2.5.
You got to think desperation alone.
It has to. Like, you talk about Josh McDaniels. We keep talking about Belichick and his descendants and, you know, all the different coordinators that go out on their own. McDaniels is 0-3, and he is the golden child.
And
right?
Isn't this
He's
the
number
one go-around?
Guy.
Yeah.
His second go-around, and we know what happened the first time. He drafted Tim Tebow, and it was a mess in Denver. He's got to get a win, or Lloyd Christmas is going to freak.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean,
I'm on the Raiders.
Can you believe in Carr, though?
Not really, but I don't trust Russell Wilson right now either. The way he's playing. It's not like Russ is putting on a clinic. All right, the Sunday nighter. Team Luke's brothers, Chiefs laying 1. Chiefs a 1-point favorite on FanDuel. In Tampa against the Buccaneers. Who do you like and why?
I believe this is the one where he said they were going to slap him silly in reference to the Chiefs beating the Bucs. That is what Luke had to say about this game. So I think we got to roll with the Chiefs here. I mean, Tampa, they're still dealing with some injuries to that team. Tom Brady has not looked Tom Brady-esque. I don't know if it's necessarily, it could be the injuries, but I mean, could he potentially be, Father Time catching up to him? It could possibly happen. The Chiefs opened up as favorites, but ultimately, I think the Chiefs is a dog. That's just a bet you got to play. So we're rolling with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, the Chiefs are favored, Al's brother. I believe they're a 1-point favorite in Tampa. So.
They were. It flipped overnight. They are now technically, I believe, last I checked at least, the Bucs were favored by 1. What line are we using?
So you're challenging the grappler now? I mean, what's going on here? The grappler's
I'll check
there?
The FanDuel app, and we'll see exactly what's going on right now.
Is it
going
to change your pick one
no,
way or the
ultimately,
other, or
I don't think it'll change my pick. I still think that the Chiefs are going to go in. Patty Mahomes is going to lay a beat down on the Bucs.
All right. There you go. Listen, I don't mind being on Tom Brady when he's desperate and he's backed into a corner, and Tampa's at home. They're going to be emotionally driven considering what's happened down there. Kansas City didn't look great. They lost to the Colts last week.
Yeah, all right. Talk about a response, though.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Could be a response. All right, well, we got to clarify the line because obviously that is important. But there you go. All right, Team Luke's brothers.
Brother.
The Chiefs are +1, so the line is flipped.
Yeah.
All right, so it is Chiefs getting a point in Tampa.
I think it flipped because originally it may have been the game was – in flux
it
to be
played.
It was
maybe going to move.
So on a neutral position, it was going to be Chiefs favored. But then moving to Tampa, they shifted the line. And now as a home team, they end up giving that to the Bucs. So on neutral field, Chiefs are the better team, according to Vegas.
Yeah. Listen, I guess I can't dispute that. But as of now, you guys are on the Bengals tonight. I am on the Vikings in the London early game. You're on the Bills. I'm on the Raiders. You're on the Chiefs. That's a lot of favorites right? A lot of favorites, except for Kansas City, who's getting a point on the road. But they're tight games, not big spreads. All right, there it is, Luke's Brothers. The podcast, I guess, is a work in progress at this point. The wheels
damn
are in
straight.
Motion.
Damn straight.
Could be happening any moment now. And there you go. All right, good luck, Al's brother.
I just am concerned that the three of you are, again, getting too excited about stuff, and Hayes is just sneakily just kind of sliding.
Jamie, you've been on losing streaks before, like tough stretches. You got to be positive. It's the only way out of it. The only way out of it.
Listen, I think Luke is an added value asset. He's awesome. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? But it just, I feel like he just wants to kind of like get in the group there.
Right.
He's like, yeah, you go ahead, Al's brother. That's a good pick.
He
good
might get dragged in. Dragged into the vortex.
I don't want him getting dragged in.
Well, he threw out his thoughts first, and then I echoed it. So he believes in these guys. We just happen to share the same belief system.
Which, again, is not a good sign at all.
There's a guy that hates your guts right now. Carlo Colaiacovo absolutely hates it when you pick the Bills.
Every time.
He believes that you are a reason they lose.
I know he does.
Frightening.
I got a text last week after the Bills shot themselves in the foot and lost to those fraudulent Miami Dolphins. The text message, I can't read it out on air, but it wasn't pleasant from Carlo Colaiacovo.
Yeah. Well, no, he's a super fan, man. It is what it is. We'll see.
Remember he was on the Zoom?
Yeah, was that for the Bills? I can't remember.
Yes.
He did that for the Raptors. I remember for the Raptors when they were in the bubble.
Oh, was it the Raptors?
The Raptors.
I thought it was for the Bills.
No, it was for although he did do something for the Bills.
He had the helmet on.
For the Bills. Yeah, he had a helmet on.
Yeah,
you're right.
What was that for?
It was the same kind of thing where you could, like, there was no one in the stadium, and they'd use fans, you know, that were at home, and they'd, but you had to sit there, like,
For hours.
A prop for hours for them to show you for about 3 seconds. I played in the NHL for a long time. Anyway, he's committed. We'll give him that. We love Carlo.
Big
he's
fan.
Committed. All right, Al's brother and Luke Wilson and Jeff O'Neill, three-headed monster. We'll see what you guys are made of starting tonight.
Absolutely.
All
new
right,
era.
Good luck. There he is, Al's brother. All right, I'll come back with my best bets for the games tonight. Jays are in. They have punched their ticket. They are off to the wild card. They're off tonight. They got Boston in town tomorrow. We'll start looking ahead to that as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams in the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I don't love this spread tonight. I'll admit that. I mean, you guys are on the Bengals -3.5. I think that's a pretty decent bet. But I kind of like the under. Kind of like the under tonight. Thursday, short week. Everyone's expecting explosive offense. I could see this being like a 24-21 game tonight. So I'm on the under.
Yeah.
A lot of people also want Ja'Marr Chase having himself an evening, something I concur with, over 75.5 total yards receiving. You know, for a guy who's an absolute superstar already and broke out the way he did last year in his rookie campaign, I think that carries over to tonight. And classic under, even though the number's so low, Vegas is screaming for you to bet the over. Ohtani's on the mound against Irvin. Angels, Athletics, both teams have their U-Hauls packed. They don't want to be there. They don't want to play. The offense is non-existent. I'm going to take the under tonight in that game. And it's low. It's only 7. But I could see Ohtani rolling on the mound this evening. Today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. All right, so a lot of things have been established today. Frankie Lasagna is a good guy. We have Frankie Lasagna on earlier this afternoon. And the other guy who was right there and had his glove on the ball, he's MIA. No one knows who he is, where he is, what he's up to. But, you know, Jays are through. Ultimately, they missed an opportunity to party last night in style. Instead, they partied today and no one's around. No media, no fans. Maybe that's even better because Baltimore lost this afternoon. So the Jays are officially into the playoffs. So that's
Keep it trucking.
Yeah.
Keep it trucking.
You've done the hard work now, right? You got in. Now you make sure you're healthy. You recalibrate. I think you set up your rotation. You fight for home field, clearly.
Right.
But you're in a good spot. You got the Red Sox in town. They're done. And then you're at Baltimore. They're done. So you got two teams that are divisional teams, and you would expect Baltimore's young and pesky. They'll probably still show up to play.
Right.
But find a way to go 4-2 over your final six games, and it's over. You know, 3-3 probably gets you home field, realistically. 3-3, you got home field in the first round. Take advantage. Go out and do it. So now that's on the Jays. So you got them going. You got the Leafs back in town. The Raptors are out west doing their thing in Victoria. They'll be back home before you know it. You got Thursday night football. Lots of stuff going on. Lots of stuff going on.
Very
packed day off tomorrow?
Yeah, everyone's off tomorrow. The show will continue. I think the Tap Man will be in here, Frankie Corrado, Dave Feschuk. So it'll be a great one tomorrow for sure. But, yeah, the three of us will be off, and we're looking forward to a three-day weekend. Back better than ever on Monday. So we're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy all the games tonight. The boys will be back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.